Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, we're finally back to baseball, and our host Mike Grace believes more in the Padres picking things up in the second half of the season than our producer Blooper does in his own gingerness.
Did you know Blooper doesn't consider himself a ginger? I asked him if he was a big Conan fan, you know, fellow ginger. He's like, I don't think I'm a ginger.
Our other host is Kurt Bavacqua, who's happy to be back from the All-Star break to enjoy his favorite part of the show, which is this part. Right here. The thing that's going on right now.
You know what I miss the most?
What's that?
Bloopers openings.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Kurt Bavacqua.
Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, is back off for one day. Kurt Bavacqua didn't get to hear an open yesterday. Blooper had a day off, but we're back. So much to talk about today. So much going on here at Petco Park. Kurt, how was your All-Star break?
One day off a year for
right?
Blooper.
Incredible.
I know.
As much grief as we give him, he's a hardworking little guy.
I think I probably enjoyed the All-Star break much less than quite a few members of the San Diego Padres. They needed it. They had it coming. I talked to quite a few of them out around the batting cage just now, and they were quite happy to get the days off and enjoy time with family and get back home if needed. I know Jed Jerko likes to go back to West Virginia. He did that. Flew from Pittsburgh to Texas and then got on a plane and went from Texas back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Because he flies out of Pittsburgh.
It can be a tough time for baseball fans. Don't get to watch their team for a few days where you're used to getting to watch your team every single day. And you didn't get to watch the Padres for, what, 4 or 5 days there? And now they're back.
I was rescued.
Yeah.
My son's in World Series tournament.
Nice. So you got your baseball fix that
way. I did. It was great.
So obviously the big news of the day, the 2016 All-Star Game logo unveiled earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk a lot about that. A little later, Jesse Agler had the chance to sit down with the Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred, and Padres Executive Chairman Ron Fowler. They're going to talk on the couch here, so we'll hear that next segment. But a lot of opinions flying around out there about the logo, what it means for the future of the Padres, what it means for the future of possibly the uniforms. And let's just take a look at this logo. And the first thing I think that strikes you probably is the yellow. There's yellow in it. The Padres don't have yellow in their uniforms right now, and many people would speculate that this could be a foreboding of what the uniforms might look like in the future.
You know, I never looked at it like that before. As a matter of fact, I'm going to now go back and I'm going to look at All-Star Game logos from different teams and see if they all have their colors in them. I don't know if it means anything. It might, and if it involves yellow getting with blue, I'm halfway there.
You're halfway there?
Yeah, I'm good.
You feel like that's a nice step
in the
right direction?
Brown and blue don't go together.
No. It would be really hard to make navy blue and brown go together. I'm not an interior designer. I'm not a graphic artist. We've assigned you many roles on this show, whether it's doctor or lawyer, graphic designer.
We're not going to put those colors together.
No. We're not going to put those colors together. So a lot of mixed reactions in the Twitter sphere. Padres fans, there was a lot of anticipation for this, looking to see if there was going to be some brown in this logo. There's so many different aspects to it. So you've got the archway that represents the gas lamp arch here, but also so many signs around San Diego, you know, Kensington, University Heights, Normal Heights, Little Italy. That's a fairly iconic San Diego thing, the signs that separate and show the community. So there's that. Eventually, Blooper is going to show you some more of the logo animations here. There's some secondary logos that show a little more of the San Diego stuff, like the Midway and the Museum of Man from Balboa Park. And I think those will all be incorporated down the line and should be pretty interesting to see how they all work. So you've got the Midway there. I think you'll see some stuff with the gas lamps. That's going to be a really cool thing right there with the Jets flying over in a kind of a star formation, making some play there with the All-Star. So going to be interesting.
We're definitely seeing yellow in all of them.
You're definitely seeing yellow. Mm-hmm. You're definitely seeing the navy blue. So a couple other things there. You see the gray outlining the All-Star game. That's battleship gray to represent the military presence here in San Diego. The white steel on that arch sign, the steel here of San Diego, or of Petco Park, I should say. So a lot of different things. I guess, you know, overall impressions. What does this mean to you, Kurt Bavakwa?
Well, I mean, I'm proud to be in the town and being with an organization that is hosting the All-Star Game. I mean, it's something that just doesn't come along very often. What are we, 78 and 92?
92, so 24 years.
It's a long time.
It's a long time.
I mean, it's a long time. And considering that the ball club, since it came in the National League in 1979 or 69, it's only hosted the All-Star Game three times.
Yeah.
As fine a city as this is.
And this facility. This
yes.
facility is built for new and big events, and it's ready. And having been in Cincinnati, and they did a fine job in Cincinnati. The city did a very nice job. The ballpark, the Reds did a really great job. A lot of good people there with the Reds. But San Diego just has so much great stuff right here, compact in downtown. I mean, so many really big, nice hotels close. I think it's going to be a special experience. There's so many cool venues for some of the other events outside of the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game that are going to be really neat here. So it's going to be something that the city can embrace. It's really going to showcase San Diego for everything it is. And I think baseball is as excited to be here as we are to have them.
Home Run Derby.
How cool is that going to be?
Oh, my goodness. No, how cool was it?
Unbelievable. I was really, on the field for this.
The rule changes that they made for the Home Run Derby were unbelievable. They came out so good and made it so enjoyable for everybody. It cut down on the time. The players, I think, enjoyed it. The fans, I think, I don't think they've ever enjoyed an all-star home run derby as much as this one this year. I know I haven't.
No, and to be there, to see them get behind their guy. And I think, like you said, the rule changes changed the dynamic of this contest. It loosened the guys up. When they only had so many swings, I think it really tightened them up. And it's going to lead to more guys wanting to be in this, don't you think? Like, why wouldn't Bryce Harper be in this next year now?
It's going to be exciting. I look forward to it. It's gonna be a fun time here in San Diego, and the fans of San Diego, the fans of baseball around this great Southern California region of ours are in for some great times here.
Yeah, and we talked about you at this point to see how fun it was for the Cincinnati fans to have Todd Frazier be in the contest, not only do so well, but just to be in it and representing them. You kind of have to find a way to get a hometown guy in that contest every year, don't you?
It'd be nice.
It'd be nice. You really do. And, I mean, hopefully, ideally, this team is in a position to put a guy in the Home Run Derby and succeed. And we talked about it because when you were there, like, it's just night and day, the electricity, when he's up. So you got to give him some advantages. There's an advantage to always going second in this contest. Make the hometown guy the number one seed. So he always gets to go last, no matter what. It's a show. You're not going to make any more money from winning the Home Run Derby. You're not going to get into the Hall of Fame from winning the Home Run Derby. So you can tweak the rules a little bit to make it as good and great a possible show as possible.
You know what another part of the broadcast that I also enjoyed was the theme song for an old TV show was played called WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yes.
And it was really cool.
They did a fun little video thing up there.
And they did a really good job.
Was that one of your shows?
Well,
that you enjoyed watching?
I just remember that. I remember the theme song.
Can you sing it?
No.
No?
I remember Lonnie Anderson. That was it.
Do you?
Yeah.
You've got a little Burt Reynolds to you. So I could see why your attraction to Lonnie Anderson there.
I remembered the show.
Nice. Yeah. It wasn't a Venus Flytrap or the song or any of the other amazing characters. No. All right. So like I mentioned earlier, Jesse sat down with Commissioner Rob Manfred and Ron Fowler of the Padres, so we're going to play that interview for you next. We definitely want to get to your questions, comments. Let us know what you think of the logo, what you think it means. Excited. Tell us what you think on Twitter, hashtag PadresSH, or in the live chat with moderator Becky. That's Padres.com/social hour. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about everything that's going on now that we start the official second half of the season and what this team needs to do to get ready and to hopefully get back
into
this race.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be
the next 10 days.
These 10 games. This is it.
It's going to be interesting.
I mean, you want to be at home for it. If you're going to jump back into this thing, you want to do it in front of your home crowd, and do it with some home cooking, right?
That's a true story.
All right. Be at Petco Park tomorrow for baseball night in San Diego. All fans in attendance will receive a Petco Park replica presented by Fanatics Authentic. Buy your tickets to see the Padres face the Colorado Rockies at 5:40 at Padres.com. Commissioner Rob Manfred coming up right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Very special day here at Petco Park, of course, the unveiling of the 2016 All-Star Game logo. We're going to talk about that and some other exciting things as well. The commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, is here, and the Padres executive chairman, Ron Fowler, stopping by as well. Great to see both of you. Welcome to Social Hour. And, Commissioner, welcome to San Diego. How's it been?
Well, it's been great. We've really had a nice visit. We're very excited about the prospect for being back here for the All-Star Game next year.
Ron, this is a pretty exciting deal for this ownership group and this organization.
It's very exciting. It was the first priority we had. We worked very hard at it, and now we're starting the clock, countdown starting, and we're looking forward to a great All-Star Game in 2016.
I know we talked about this when the announcement was made, but the process of getting next summer's game here at Petco Park, that wasn't a simple, easy thing. That wasn't just a sign your name at the end of the list sort of deal.
No, it was a very good process, I think. But what it did is pulled everybody together that needed to be involved in it, starting with the city and the Padres organization, and then working with Major League Baseball to deliver what they wanted. And it was a good learning process for us, and I think a good relationship builder with Major League Baseball.
Certainly with a new commissioner as well. San Diego, everybody knows, America's finest city. It's a great place. And this ballpark certainly, I think, lives up to the name of the city.
Well, I think that we're overdue for having an All-Star game in this ballpark, and the fact that it's taken this long is just testament to the fact that how much demand we have for All-Star games. I hope people in San Diego appreciate the kind of effort that goes into effort by the club, by the city, by the community to make the sorts of commitment we need in order to bring what's really a week-long celebration to San Diego.
Yeah, Ron, along those lines, I mean, this might be stating the obvious, but maybe not for everybody out there. I mean, this isn't just about the Padres, and it's not just about Petco Park, and it's not just about next, you know, July, whatever, the Tuesday night when the game is. There's a lot of other stuff that's going to happen here.
Well, there'll be a great build for the city and for the county, let's say, for this game. And I think it's going to be very exciting for the fans. I think baseball is going to have a lot of interactive activities for a lot of the fans. And we're looking to touch a lot of people in San Diego, whether they're big baseball fans now or not. I think they'll come out, experience this, and hopefully become fans.
Yeah, spectacle kind of thing.
One of the things you realize, we were just obviously in Cincinnati for the event, that it's a metropolitan area broadly defined. I mean, we had events not only in Cincinnati, but, you know, in Kentucky, and I'm hopeful that we'll have events that maybe go across the U.S. border here.
Okay. Maybe a little hint of things to come, something to keep in mind as time goes on. Speaking of Cincinnati, Home Run Derby, I think, was something that caught a lot of news this week, and for good reasons. It was a new format. It was adjusted late on the fly because of the weather situations, and I really think by any measure it was a great success. Everybody seemed to be enjoying it, and you don't often get to say that about anything, particularly in this social media age. Maybe talk a little bit about the thought that went into changing the format for the Derby and if any decisions have been made for 2016 right here at Petco.
Well, first of all, hats off to our COO, Tony Petitti, who really spearheaded the change. I think that adding a clock to the event not only shortened and tightened the event, but it created a lot more action. We had almost twice as many home runs just because players weren't taking pitches. Constant action, absolutely outstanding in terms of the entertainment value. We did get lucky. We shortened the hitting time from 5 minutes to 4 minutes because we were concerned about rain. And if you watch the players, you understood that four was plenty of time. They were really gassed at the end of it. We will continue to refine. We haven't made any decisions for next year. I think the clock, the time pitch, that'll all be there next year. We may make some modest changes in terms of amount of time, bonus time, those sorts of things, just to continue to evolve the event and make it as good as possible for the fans.
All right, so we've got the Home Run Derby to look forward to, Ron. We've got the game itself, of course. The commissioner just sort of alluded to some other things that could be happening. Where are we at in the planning process for the other stuff all around this area?
Well, it's well underway in the conversations we've had with Tony and some of his people. I think we're looking more at a All-Star Week, and a lot of interactivity with the community. So I think it's going to be bigger and better, and it's up to us to rally the community and show the type of community support that Cincinnati did, and I think we can do it. There's all kinds of red back there. We want all kinds of blue out here.
All right. We're about halfway through your first season, Commissioner, as Commissioner of Major League Baseball. Are you enjoying yourself?
Yes, I really am. People tell me pretty much every day, somebody says to me, you have the greatest job in the world, and I am inclined to agree with that. The clubs have been great, supportive. The season's off to a great start, real fantastic competitive balance. We've already surpassed 40 million fans at the All-Star break, so we feel really good about where we are.
One of your big initiatives, and maybe the three most spoken words on shows like this that talk about baseball, pace of play. How do we feel about that midway through this year?
We're very encouraged by the pace of play effort. First and most important, I've been out talking to the players in the clubhouses about pace of game since the beginning of the year. I think the most important thing is that the players have been tremendously supportive of this effort. And when you're trying to do something on the field, it begins and ends with the players. So their support is probably the best indicator of the fact that we're going to be successful long term. In terms of the actual time of the game, we're down about 9 minutes. It'll be the biggest decrease since 1965 if we can hold that number. And I feel like there will be real progress on what's going to be an ongoing effort with respect to pace of game.
I think we all know that sort of near the top of your priority list is Commissioner. Tweaks to replay are always something you've made clear that could happen. Is there any other big initiative, maybe off the field? I know we talk a lot about youth baseball that's really at the top of your list.
Well, there is nothing more important that we're doing than our youth initiative, and there's really two parts to it. The biggest determinant of fan avidity as an adult is whether you played the game as a kid. And, the youth space in terms of participation is extraordinarily competitive now. And we need to make sure that baseball is a competitive product in that space. We're working with some of our great partners like Little League to do everything we can to support them. We're also working with USA Baseball to try to bring a little more organization in that 13 to 18 age group, which we feel is really, really important. And we also have a new initiative called Play Ball, which focuses on non-formal play. In other words, not 18 kids in uniform with an umpire, but those fun things that a lot of us did as kids, wiffle ball, catch, hot box, those sorts of games. We have a partnership with the U.S. Conference of Mayors and a commitment for 120 play ball events around the country this summer.
I love that. It makes me think of being a kid. Ghost runners. That was always a big thing. Right. You had to have a ghost runner on first,
right.
And you knew you could turn the double play.
It was hard to get that ghost runner out.
He was very quick. He was very quick. He was like Ricky Henderson out there.
Right.
And Ron, I know the Padres do so much in that sphere here with the Little League program. So obviously in a community like this where baseball is such a big deal, that's got to be music to your ears.
Well, it is. And when Rob was a candidate to be commissioner, he really emphasized it, and we embrace it the same way. But we think these initiatives are going to help really push our program even faster and further. So we're excited about it.
I think that the Padres programs, youth programs, are a great example of how you can be supportive of a great partner. The uniform program in particular with the Little League is just such a great way to work with somebody who's an expert in the space, the Little League organization, and Padres have done a fantastic job with that.
Well, that's great to hear. A real thrill, a real honor. Obviously, a huge day here at Petco Park. The logo unveiled for next year's All-Star Game. Mr. Commissioner, Ron, really appreciate you guys stopping by. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate
it. Enjoyable.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studios. He's Kurt Bavacqua. I am Mike Grace. Our special thanks to the Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred. And
sitting right here.
Right where you are right now. And hey, we give him a lot of grief, but we got to give Blooper a little love here. He got 2 years in a row. Both times he's had the Commissioner of Baseball.
One time I was sitting right next to Bud Selig.
That's right.
Buddy.
How many shows out there can say that, though? That they've had really two different baseball commissioners in 2 years?
Probably not too many. That's a true story. I mean, there's no exaggeration there.
Boom.
And you know what? Man, okay.
I ain't about that life, bro.
Yeah, you get some props for that. And you should. Now if you get the gal, the singer, you're going to really be up there in my mind.
And that brings us to David's tweet. David said, this Padres social hour is better than the backpack show. Eat your heart out, Taylor Swift. So, you know, I think this bodes well. You get two commissioners of your sport in 2 years. I think that says something to Taylor Swift that, wow, that might be a show I need to participate in.
Yeah, you need to tweet that out, Blooper. And
I haven't tweeted at her in a while. I'll get at that.
You can't give up. I mean, she has like 2.5 million followers. So you got to know that you got to get a lot of them in there for her to read one.
I love social media expert Kurt Bavakwa explaining Twitter to you. Yeah. This might be my favorite thing in quite a while here.
You know, Rob Manfred really seems like he likes San Diego.
He should.
Did you get that?
Well, I think the winter meetings went really well here, mm-hmm. and I think all of baseball got a really good feel for the city. I think they got so much positive feedback from the press, which is what they want positivity from. Shocking, writers like beer, and San Diego loves beer.
How can you not?
I mean, the weather. Obviously we are biased, but wouldn't you just want to come back here every 4 or 5 years? Like, make San Diego kind of your – Hawaii, like the Pro Bowl is, just come back here. I mean, and that's not fair, obviously. The other teams deserve the All-Star game as well, but, I mean, so many things go right here. So, you know, I don't know if this staff could handle putting on an All-Star game every 4 or 5 years, because from what I saw in Cincinnati, it's definitely, definitely a lot of work.
I bet.
You
were back there, huh?
Yeah. No, I was part of the contingent that got to go. And
how many
see the
how many?
I think almost 30. Almost 30 of us, yeah. There's so many things going on, and it takes so many people, so many volunteers, so many people step outside of their regular roles with the organization mm-hmm. and just take on a very specific role for the All-Star game. And it's really fascinating to see all the space that they take over in the ballpark, how they rearrange rooms to make everything work, locker rooms. I mean, it's quite the production, really. So
interesting.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Let's run through some tweets here. We've got a lot of feedback on the logo. Aztec Devin, regular contributor. I feel like the logo represents the city of San Diego very well. I think it does, too. I mean, you get the palm trees, the blue skies. Sunshine yellow is what they're calling the color in there, which is obviously what we get a lot of. So he likes it. John and Nicole. I think the blue and yellow is predictable, though I do not like it, trying to be a city with all teams same colors, a la Pittsburgh. There's been some comments about that, the blue and the yellow similar to the Chargers. I like that about Pittsburgh. I don't know if there's anything to that here, but it's cool that the Penguins and the Pirates and the Steelers are all black and gold, and the entire city can get behind it. You can wear your Steelers stuff to a Pirates game, and you're still with your team colors, you're with your city colors. I think there's something kind of cool to that.
Let's have something to think about on using those words. Let's hope that we see both teams in San Diego with the same colors for a lot of years to come.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Everything hoping for the best there. Our buddy Mickey, he says, can't wait to see the new uniforms unveiled alongside this rad logo. Yellow implemented would be awesome. So there's somebody that likes it. And finally in this segment, our buddy Sackbunt Chris, excited to see the Midway logo there. And he wanted to get a Snapchat of that. So we're going to show some of these logos again. If you didn't get to watch the live press conference today, you probably didn't get to see some of the logos. And there's a lot of ancillary logos outside of this main one that are going to be used all over town. And that was one thing that was really cool in Cincinnati was the mustache was the main logo. You saw that on the field, which I'm sure you had to love, the mustache everywhere.
Well, Cincinnati
all over town.
Red Stockings. I mean, that's where it came from.
Absolutely.
So it's their tradition.
No, so that was good. So we're going to run through a few of these. One of the good ones here. So you see a nice shot of the Museum of Man from Balboa Park. Very iconic with the palm trees there. So it would be really neat. I could see that possibly being like cut into the grass, something like that. That would be neat. Another one that's really cool is the stars that turn into jets. You see those doing a flyover, and you know everything we're gonna do here. There's always gonna be a military aspect to it. This town is founded on the military, in so many ways, with the military bases that are here, and how that's brought so many people to San Diego. So we're always gonna honor the military and everything the Padres do. So I think those were a couple things that were really cool about the logo and everything going on with the All-Star game and its presentation there.
I'm looking forward to seeing all of them. I like that last one with the jet flyover.
That's pretty cool, right? They made the stars
really
and the All-Star out of that. So, yeah, no, that's pretty cool. You know, You can see it flying over. It just gets you excited mm-hmm. about everything that it brings, everything that it brings to the city and to the ballpark and the team. So I don't know. What's most exciting for you? Is it the game? Is it the derby? Is it just, you know, what it brings to the city financially or from a pride sense?
I think it's just having the game here and seeing all the players come in. And I have to tell you, I wanted no part of the Home Run Derby until they changed the rules and I said I was going to start to watch it and see how it worked out. I ended up watching the whole thing. And then I watched the replay of it with my sons.
It's funny. The commissioner even said that they got lucky when they changed the rules or they changed the timing because originally – and so, again, I was there and I got to see a rehearsal of this. And so originally it was five-minute rounds. If you hit two home runs over 420 feet, you got an extra minute. If you hit a home run over 475 feet, you got an extra 30 seconds. In the last minute, if you hit a home run, the clock stopped. And it didn't start again until you didn't hit a home run. So those guys could step out of the box, towel off, take pitches. And it really would have made it a much, much longer event. I mean, this would have been a four and a half hour event. They had to change it because of the weather and the rain that could have been there. And it really saved them, and it was perfect. I think 3 hours is just right for that event, and they got lucky. But hey, you know, the gods were smiling on them that day.
Rather be lucky than good.
Most of the time, right?
I think the biggest thing was the 4 minute part, going from 5 to 4. People don't realize how difficult it is to swing consecutively for 5 minutes. I know you had 1 45-second timeout that you were allowed. But it is a hard thing. The players wouldn't have performed as well the last minute and a half or so, even if they would have taken a timeout in between.
No, that makes so much sense because we were watching these high school kids. I mean, and who has more energy than a high school kid? And they were gassed out after 3 minutes going
Absolutely.
Through it pretty straight.
It's hard. It really is.
When you think about regular BP, what most guys take 8, 10 swings, and then they're jumping out of the cage.
That's it.
And then they get to sit for a minute or two, and then they jump back in for 8 or 10 swings. You don't take 30 swings in a row for nonstop. That's a lot of a swing and a heavy baseball bat.
Every time you see a guy do that, whether it be a kid in high school who's taking batting practice or a kid in a cage, they start getting tired, and they start doing things that they shouldn't be doing. You got to get them out of the cage as a coach.
Yeah, it really does mess with your swing, and that's something that has kept certain guys out of the Home Run Derby in the past. They felt like it did change their swing going forward in the second half, and so they didn't want to participate. I don't know if that changes with this. You're going to get tired doing this, and maybe you do change your swing, but the excitement, and I think most of these guys don't want to go out there and embarrass themselves, which is more likely to happen under the old format than it is under this format.
I think this format's going to bring some people into it.
I hope so, because, you know, you talk about the NBA and the slam dunk contest, and you can't get the big guys to do it. If you can get Bryce Harper and Mike Trout and the top guys in the game, it's only going to lead, one, to the excitement of the event, but two, those are iconic moments for those players that are only going to help brand them and make them even more popular than they already are.
The way the ball was traveling in Cincinnati, I would have given anything to see Giancarlo Stanton in that Home Run Derby.
Can you wait next year? Right-handed Giancarlo on this. He's going to put one on the roof, right?
He got a chance.
Oh,
he doesn't really hit the ball high, though.
He shoots those laser beams.
Yeah, he shoots laser beams. So he's got a chance. People have to watch out in the left field seats.
Bring those gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's going to be – hopefully he's healthy and doing well next year because that would be fun. Watch him hit home runs and they don't count against us. I'm all for that.
He's going to be fine.
That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. More of your tweets and talking about tonight's game a little later here on Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show, Padres Social Hour, presented by United. I'm Mike Grace. He's at Kurt Bavacqua. And our buddy Ghost of Ray Kroc tweets, social media expert Kurt Bavacqua, you really should add this to your Twitter bio.
Yeah, I just read that.
You just
Ghost
read
is a comedian.
He's a comedian.
Sometimes.
So moderator Becky informed us over the break that you might have shorted Taylor Swift.
I know.
Twitter
I feel bad about that
a little bit. 60 million.
Well, that's
Twitter.
Crazy.
That's crazy. So is that why she's not seeing bloopers tweets when he tweets at her?
Well, she wasn't seeing them when she only had 2 million. Since we've been promoting her on the show, now she has 60.
We pushed Taylor Swift over the top
from 2.5 million to 60.
Now you may not be. You may not be a social media expert yet. I think you'll get there.
I don't think so.
Well, maybe not. But you're producing the heck out of this Saturday night post-game show. Tell the folks what you've got coming up tomorrow night.
We're going to have fun tomorrow night.
This is unbelievable.
I don't know what to call him. So I'm just going to say the chicken. The chicken is going to be on the show.
The world famous chicken. You call him the San Diego chicken. The famous San Diego chicken.
Ted Giannoulis.
Now that's an awesome get. That's going to be a fun guy. But who do you have to sit next to the chicken and talk about the history of baseball and what he's done in it?
The longest tenured umpire in the major leagues. And you guys know how much I love umpires. So Joe West is going to join me. A friend of mine, by the way.
Country Joe West. We got to get blooper some of
his
CDs.
You're not allowed to socialize with umpires as a player. I used to sneak out with Joe West.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Go listen to him play a honky-tonk?
Joe West's a good guy.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I told a story about Paul Runge and I sitting down in Phoenix one day in the 105-degree heat in AAA and me kind of knocking a chip off my shoulder and also him knocking a chip off his shoulder, looking at the other side. And I think from that time on, I've been okay. I'm okay with umpires in general. I just don't like umpires that don't do a good job.
That's fair.
And I'll tell the truth.
That's fair.
Joe's hated by players.
He's probably to the point in his career, though, where he's like, it probably just all rolls off his back. He's heard it all. He's seen it all. He doesn't
38
care anymore,
years?
Right? I mean, he's getting close to retiring, I got to think. And he's going to go out with a bang. I mean, he's going to do what he wants to do and
we'll find that
say
out.
What he wants to say.
We're going
to
find that out. We're going to find out what makes him tick because there are a lot of things that tick him off. I was one of them for a period of time. So we're going to have a good time.
So tune in tomorrow night, post-game.
Really looking forward to it.
Kurt and these guys. That's going to be a fun show. You don't want to miss that. A couple more tweets on the logo here. Path Thrasher, the All-Star Game. 2016 logo is a swing and a miss. Does not represent San Diego at all. Where is the reference to Mr. Padre number 19? And I don't know if that's a fair criticism. I don't think there's ever been an All-Star logo or anything that really single out a single player. So I don't think that's a fair criticism. I mean, if you don't think it represents the city, that's fine. I mean, everybody's got an opinion on this. But I don't think you're ever going to put a single player in something like that. I mean, I just don't think that's realistic.
Well, I think it's a little unfair because if there's the respect that this organization has for Tony Gwynn is out there. It has been out there for a long time, and it was by no means.
Yeah, it's not a slight.
It's
slighted. Just not the proper platform.
Isn't. It really isn't.
And then Betty Eckhouse, she tweets, there are some Padres fans who will never be satisfied or going to find something wrong with the logo no matter what. Hey, I don't have any problems with people out there having criticisms of the logo. I know a lot of people put a lot of thought and effort into wanting this to be brown. I mean, there are so many people that want the team to go back to brown. I don't think that's falling on deaf ears. And Jeff Sanders of the Union Tribune asked Mike D., hey, we're looking at this logo. Does this mean that brown is out? And he said, not necessarily. So not all answers are in this logo. He said, not necessarily. So I think that leaves the door open for a lot of possibilities.
When Ron Fowler and the ownership group here in San Diego took over the team, I had not seen Ron for probably 20 years. I knew him from business before that. And he's from San Diego. I've been here a long time. You know what the first words I uttered when I went to the owner's box to say hi and shake his hand and welcome him? Or say congratulations? Bring back the brown.
You were just right away.
Right. That's the first thing I said to him.
Was it well received?
I don't know. He goes, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. No, I think that's what I think he's had a lot of conversations. So it's going to be interesting. I think you'll figure some of these things out, in the fall. And what's going to happen with this team. But, I don't think anything's out of the realm of possibility at this point. And like you said, can you really put blue and brown together? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
Your graphic artist designs and your social media expertise says that's probably not the best idea.
Blue and brown will not be in the same logo, I promise, or same uniform coloring.
Makes sense. Hey, let's talk a little baseball here. That last road trip, I don't know if you can have a 4-6 road trip, which is what it ended up being, that looked worse than it was, to not the most terrible result. I mean, obviously they needed to get on a run, win some ball games. It didn't happen. But almost 500, it wasn't like they went 2-8, but it looked so bad because of the way it happened. That was just a really bizarre road trip.
You want to know what's really weird about that road trip? As bad as it looked, it also looked that good.
And I think that was going to be my question to you, was there was a lot of good baseball played, a lot of really good pitching from this team, and so many things just didn't quite go well enough to win some of those games. I mean, so many of them could have turned the other way, and it could have been a 6-4, 7-3 trip, and it just didn't happen that way.
Oh, it could have very easily been an 8-2 trip. I mean, very easily.
Right.
6-4 for sure. I mean, there's no doubt. But when you win the first two games and then you lose six, you're kind of happy to win the last two.
Of course.
Going into the All-Star break. So you come home, you're disappointed that you went 4-6 on a road trip that, you know what, if you're in the thick of the pennant race, that would have been an acceptable road trip. If you're one or two games out of first place,
right,
or you're right there with another team, everybody's happy with a 4-6 road trip to those towns. They played some great baseball against two outstanding teams.
Oh, yeah, those Central teams are really good.
Outstanding teams. They went into all three towns, granted, with teams missing players. The St. Louis Cardinals had guys on the DL. The Pittsburgh Pirates had guys that were out. And the Texas Rangers also had guys that were shelved. So they had the opportunity, but they ran into some good pitching.
Yeah, no, and it's a good point. But the Padres also had guys out. I mean, Will Myers, Bill Center made the argument the other day that Will Myers is the MVP of this team. Because when this team was playing well and winning games, Will Myers was on this team playing well and helping them win games. So, you know, I mean, you talk about that missing guys, but this team is missing guys too. I mean, Brandon Morrow was the best starter on this team for the first month of the season, and they haven't had him for several months. So that's my segue to the AMR injury report. We got a couple updates here.
Oh, good.
So we're
going
to get to the AMR injury report. A couple things. One, some rough news. Corey Lubke. Guy just can't catch a break. He had another operation today. It's nothing with the ligament, but apparently he had to have some surgery to clean up a nerve around some scar tissue. So that's going to set him back about 3 to 4 weeks before he can start throwing again. So that's some pretty rough news there. This guy's been through so much and was pitching in rehab games, getting back, and just to have another setback like that. That's just really rough for a guy like that.
Yeah, but 3 or 4 weeks isn't too bad.
It's not too bad, but it's also going to make it really difficult for him to contribute to this team for sure,
mm-hmm.
but to get back into minor league games, because the minor league season doesn't go as long as the major league season, so he might not have the opportunity. Maybe he's going to look at playing in some winter ball. I think he's a free agent after this year, if I remember correctly, so he's got to find a new deal and show some teams that he can still pitch. So rough news there. But better news, Will Myers flew to Arizona today. He's going to get checked out and going to start possibly getting into some baseball activities if all goes well with that appointment.
And he is eligible to come off the DL when?
Oh, he's eligible.
Oh, anytime.
Yeah, I don't think he Blooper can maybe check my map
okay.
here, but I don't think he went on the 60-day. I think he's on the 15-day. So, you know, maybe they make a move if they need something and the timing isn't there. But, yeah, he's eligible to come off. Maybe – I don't know. So much rides on this homestand, and they're not going to rush that guy. They can't rush that guy back. They can't let him get hurt again. I mean, he's too important to the future. Now, say you win 8 games on this homestand, you get close to 500, the division comes back a little bit, maybe you start thinking about pushing him a little bit, but what this team does is going to determine really his progression, I would think.
This homestand is going to determine what A.J. Preller does before the 31st deadline, for sure.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. And everybody knows how I feel about Will Myers. I mean, he's an important, very important cog in this ball club.
Makes a lot of sense. All right, that was the AMR Injury Report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit AMRSanDiego.com. Going back to what you were saying about A.J., what do you need to see in this 10-game homestand? And it's probably not even about how they play as a team. This one is just legitimately about results. What results do they come? Wins and losses. What do you need to see to feel comfortable that this team is back in the race?
Well, they need a run, and they also need some luck. So they need to win games, and they need for the Dodgers to lose. In my estimation, for this team to go forward, with going into the trade deadline, picking people up for a pennant run, they have to pick up at least four or five games on the Dodgers this homestand.
Give me a number of wins in this 10-game homestand.
At least eight.
Eight wins. There you go. I agree. I agree. All right. This Wednesday at Petco Park will be a complete throwback experience. It's Way Back Wednesday, and the Padres are taking on the Giants at 12:40. The first 20,000 fans will receive a pair of Knockaround sunglasses presented by Knockaround. Get your tickets at Padres.com. These things are awesome. Awesome. They've got the little strap on the back. It's going to be a lot of fun, so make sure you get here early. More Padres Social Hour coming up right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour. He's Kurt Pavakwa. I'm Mike Grace. He is going on the Cholula hot seat.
Woo.
It's getting so hot under you. It's hot sauce. I got one question for you.
Yes.
A lot of trade rumors flying around. And so many options out there for the Padres. They have a lot of valuable players, want to keep a lot of valuable players. A lot of talk about James Shields. And he signed here on a nice free agent deal. Assuming he isn't just, like, totally okay with it, is there a way the Padres can trade James Shields and not really negatively affect future free agent signings?
I don't think they're going to. Again, unless James comes out and says, I wanted this trade.
Or he says, I'm okay with it. You don't think they would trade James Shields unless he was 100% okay with it. Because for the most part, they can't really do that, right? I mean, they can't go out and trade a guy that they just signed because it's going to send a bad message.
I mean,
unless that guy is okay with it.
They can do anything they want to, but I just don't know if I trust the rumors out there that the Padres are shopping James Shields.
Well, I don't know if they're shopping, but I think it's one of those things where you just do your due diligence on everybody. You find out what the value is. Because, I mean, say, you know, they offer you the world for James Shields because that's what a certain team needs. You got to listen. But you also have to understand the ramifications of what that move does for your future. And A.J. Preller's a smart guy. He's not going to go into this half-cocked. He's going to think about what all these moves mean in the short term and in the long term. But, you know, if they did, would that affect how future free agents view this franchise in your mind?
It could. If I'm a big free agent coming into to free agency and I have the opportunity to sign with different teams, I'm going to look at what their history was with certain players. And if I'm going to go in and establish residency and look forward to living not only in the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years that I signed the amount of the contract, but maybe forever. I mean, San Diego's not a bad place to live, and there's a lot of players that have played in other cities that still live here, that have moved to other cities that still lived here. James might be the kind of guy that does that, but I don't see it happening.
Okay. No, you handled yourself well on the Cholula hot seat. That was a great answer. Nice job.
That was a tough one.
Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Wrapping up Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
We're wrapping it up from the AMR studios. Going to show you tonight's lineup that is facing Jorge De La Rosa. And we start off with Yonhair Vasolarte in the leadoff spot. Derek Norris after a few days off, much needed. Matt Kemp, Justin Upton, Jed Jericho, Yonder Alonso, Melvin Upton Jr., Will Middlebrooks in the 8-hole. And he's playing shortstop. And James Shields as they reset the pitching rotation. We're going to get to the head-to-head challenge. Kurt, you have first pick. And just so everybody knows, as we start the second half, everything is all tied up. Your Todd Frazier pick in the Home Run Derby was a big winner. And so you are going to pick first in tonight's head-to-head challenge. Who do you have?
And let Blooper know about it, too.
Yeah.
Via text messages.
Nice. Who you got tonight?
Tonight's easy. James Shields.
James Shields. He's going to get it back on track.
Yes.
All right. Blooper, who you got?
Derek Norris.
Derek Norris.
He likes the time off.
He likes the rest. All right. This is the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. Derek Norris, see how he does with some rest. Maybe you might want to get him a little more rest going forward this season.
Austin Hedges looked good the last game he played.
Yeah, he's getting a little experience.
But I still see him as soon as Fedorovic is ready.
Yep. All right. Enjoy the second half of this baseball season starting tonight. Tomorrow we are back, Ben and Randy at 4. And check out Blooper tonight on POV after tonight's game. Thanks, everybody.